I'm thankful to be here with you. Sure, I am thankful to have been here during that song service this morning. Felt that the Lord was in the midst of the people of God. Certainly felt that the Lord blessed Brother James in his remarks and Brother David in his prayer. You know, sometimes you wonder whether or not you need to even say anything about something that happened, but I know that that was an awful bunch of racket up here just then, right before Brother David prayed. And my leg got hung on that pew when I went to get on my knee. And it just seemed like when it started tilting, it wasn't anything I could do to stop it before it just flat fell right there on the back of my leg. And I apologize for the distraction, but my prayer is that the Lord would have us to be engaged in Him to be on our mind and on our heart. And I certainly wouldn't want to do anything to draw attention away from that. And I do ask that the prayers continue for me in the time that I stand here this morning, and that we might rejoice together in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to read to you from the 7th chapter of the book of Hebrews, if you have your scriptures and desire to read along with us. And I'll read verse 25. And if the Lord is in the matter, we'll may go a little further than this in our remarks, but we'll just stop here in the reading and certainly pray for His blessings upon our thoughts. Hebrews chapter 7 in verse 25. Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. There's good stuff below that. It's hard sometimes to stop reading whenever you begin to read in portions of Scripture like this, where our Savior Jesus Christ is portrayed in such a beautiful way, and things that maybe some have believed all their life about Him that they're able to be reminded of, that things that maybe some have been converted to in the course of their life, or maybe someone hasn't seen yet about our Lord. But whenever we're blessed to be able to hear these things about Him, I don't know about you, but they sound good to my ears. I never grow old, as Brother David mentioned, and I pray I don't. I certainly don't feel like I'm above it, and none of us should feel that we are. That we might not get in such a way that hearing these things about our Lord would become old to us. We certainly are all capable of getting in such a place. But I want to tell you, it's a good thing whenever we can see things about Jesus like what we see here, not just here in this verse, but all throughout the book of Hebrews, that we can see about Him. And we can say, thank You, Lord, that I'm blessed once again to be able to read these things about Thee. That I'm able to see these things about our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That we're able to be reminded about how He's so much better than here in the book of Hebrews specifically. The writer is trying to draw the minds and the hearts of the people that he's addressing to follow the Lord and not return unto the old covenant, but to rejoice in Jesus in the new. He never speaks down upon the old from the standpoint of it not being a holy law, of it not being a good way to walk. He just simply over and over again throughout this letter reminds them about how they have something better in the Lord Jesus Christ. And even though you and I, as far as I know, I've never walked in an Old Testament covenant. I've done a little bit of research about my family and about my lineage, and as far as I know, I don't have a Jewish heritage or a Jewish lineage. But it doesn't mean that you and I don't need to be reminded continuously about why Jesus is better than other things in this world that may draw us away from Him. about not only other things of this world, but other views of Jesus that exist in this world. And I'm not here today to speak down upon what someone may have hold close to their heart. I'm just here to tell you that the truth about Jesus reminds us over and over again about why Jesus is better, about why Jesus is better. I'm thankful to believe about Jesus Christ this morning that He is able, aren't you? I'm thankful to believe that Jesus Christ is able. You know, whenever we think about ourselves, you know, I know that maybe we endeavor and we labor to be as able as we can. You know, the Lord's blessed us whenever we moved back to our family farm to be able to get cows again. My daddy's as happy as he's been in 10 years about it, because me and my brother-in-law handle all of the expenses associated with it, and all he gets to do is be with the cows. He's happy about it. And I like seeing a cow graze out there in the pastures that I grew up watching them graze in. It's just something that touches my heart. And I don't want to tell you we can go in a wrong way by worshiping such, but nevertheless, it's a pretty sight to me. I want my children to be able to grow up in a way that I grew up, and that is not only watching them graze out there, but having some responsibility associated with them being out there. You know, to be able to grab a set of hole diggers, and to be able to know what they're used for, and to be able to grab a shovel and know how to use it. And it doesn't matter how mad they may get at them right now, I want to tell you, I believe there'll be a day when they'll appreciate being taught in such a way. But you know, every once in a while I like to get a hold to them myself. And I like to dig down in that ground, and I like to get sweaty, and I like to work out there with them every once in a while. I like to remind myself that maybe I'm capable of doing things that I used to be able to do, even though I know that I'm not as capable as I used to be in it. You know, you and I, we labor and we endeavor to be able in things. I tell you, I want to be as able as I can whenever I stand before the Lord's people to encourage them in Jesus Christ. I would that the Lord would bless me to be able to have them walk in the way and in the will of God. That the Lord would bless me with the ability to be able to lift our Lord up. And not that He needs me to lift Him up in order for Him to be lifted up, but that I, in my speech, would be able to be blessed for the people of God to see Him in the lifted up state that He is. I tell you, we consider our ability, but I want to tell you, our ability is nothing in comparison to the ability of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We serve a God this morning that is able. He is able. Wherefore, He is able also to save them to the uttermost. I'm going to tell you, when it comes to salvation, I tell you, we serve a God that's able. We must recognize that we are not. The Bible dedicates a great portion of ink to remind us of just how unable we are in regards to our salvation. I saw something on Instagram the other day. You say, Brother Will, you look at Instagram some. I tell you, like anything else, too much of it is bad. And if you choose not to look at it at all, I won't discourage you in that either. I'll tell you that. But you know, the description that this person that was proclaiming to preach Jesus unto the people that he was standing before, the description that he gave about man and about what our state is and about what our circumstance is by nature, it didn't match what I see in this word about what we are by nature. And that is that we by nature are completely unable to do anything in regards to our salvation. We don't have the ability. There's a reason why that the Bible describes us as being dead. I tell you, when one's dead, they're not able. When one is dead, they are yet without strength. Not with just a little bit of strength. The Bible describes us as in being dead as being yet without strength. And that's the way that we are whenever we are dead. We are unable to do anything in and of ourselves. And I tell you, if we're ever able to see Jesus in the lifted up place where he belongs in our eyes, the first place we've got to see is just how lowly we are before the Lord deals with us. And I tell you, we're dead. I like the way Paul described it in Ephesians chapter 2, don't y'all? Y'all read Ephesians chapter 2 out here in Ruth, Mississippi? I believe you do. I believe you do. I believe y'all's word is the same word we try to use a few states over. I believe the hymns that you sing are the same hymns we try to sing over back home wherever I'm from. And the Bible says that whenever Paul wrote the church at Ephesus, that he wanted them to remember and about what they were. And that is, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin." You and I are unable to do anything in regards to our salvation. Unable. Completely unable. You know, Paul told Titus this way. He told him to make sure that they were in a mind to remember some things. He said, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers and to obey magistrates and to speak evil of no man." Boy, we're all scoring 100 on that, aren't we? All of us fail in that. Sure we do. But he says, "For we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." You know, sometimes I know that the Bible doesn't portray man in a way that men want to see themselves, but I want to tell you that void of God, that is exactly the description of what you and I are. We're dead. We're unable. And you say, "Brother Will, if you're sitting here reminding us over and over again about how unable we are, how are we supposed to find any comfort and any joy in such a doctrine that would tell us that we are in such a state that we're unable? And if we're so unable, then what is it that should bring comfort to us? Our comfort should not come through our ability. Our comfort should come in reading about a Savior, and His name is Jesus Christ, that the Bible tells us that He is able to save them to the uttermost. Our hope is in Him. I tell you, I hadn't come today for us to rejoice strictly in one another. It doesn't mean I don't thank the Lord for y'all. Y'all have no idea how thankful I am to see y'all this morning. It's obvious that you showed up this morning with a zeal in your heart to worship the Lord. Nobody could sit through that song service and not become persuaded of that. You've come with a desire in your heart to serve the Lord, and I'm going to tell you, I thank the Lord for you. I thank the Lord for the man that serves you as pastor. I thank the Lord for the other ministers of the gospel that serve in this area, and that the Lord blesses y'all the way that we do. We're not the way that He does. I'm not telling you that we're not thankful for certain things, but you and I need to know this morning that whenever we speak about our home in heaven and about that uttermost salvation that Jesus brought us to, you and I need to know that the only thanksgiving that we can give is to the man that gave it to us and the man who had the ability to do it, and His name is Jesus Christ. He is able to save them to the uttermost. How does He save us, Brother Will? How does He save us? You know, how does He deliver us to such a place? I tell you, you and I, we had to be saved now. If we're dead and Jesus saves us, there had to be a way that it's done. Had to be a way that it came about. Is it some sort of process that took a long time to accomplish, where somebody came along and told you about Jesus and you thought about it for a while and you considered what it was they were saying, and they went on about their way and you went on about yours, and eventually y'all's paths crossed again and they reminded you about what they told you before and you still had to consider it for a while, and finally when you came around to wanting to, then you allowed yourself to be saved for heaven? You say, "Brother Will, why are you asking us about that?" I'm going to make sure y'all are with me this morning. I'm going to tell you, whenever it came to the Lord saving us for our sins, He didn't come around and try to persuade us that it might be the best path for us to take. I'm going to tell you, the Bible says that no man can come to Me except the Father which hath sent Me draw him, and I will raise him up again at the last day. And here in the book of Hebrews chapter 7, in this 25th verse that I've read to you, the word of the Lord tells us that He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God. How do they come unto God? By Him. Amen. By Him. And I tell you, there's never been power in water without sending a pump down in the well for the water to be able to be drawn up out of that well unless somebody went down with a bucket to bring it up. And the same is true about us. There's no way we could come to God because we didn't have the ability to be able to do it. But Jesus Christ came down to us where we were and brought us to Him. He brought us to Him. You say, how many of us did He bring? Every one that the Father gave Him to bring to Him. Is how many Jesus Christ brought to the Father without the fail of one. You know, speaking about our inabilities, is there any task that we've ever done that our fathers gave us? I'll ask the brethren. Has your father ever, can any of us ever claim that every task that our father gave us that we completed perfectly without the fail of any of it? Well, maybe you were a little bit better at it than I was. But I'm going to tell you, this old boy that stands before you this morning has never been perfect. And I don't believe I ever will be. I will tell you that. It doesn't mean that I glory whenever I fail to do something that I'm supposed to do, but none of us can claim perfection and completion in the task that was laid out before us. But I want to tell you about one who can claim such, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. His Father sent Him down from heaven, and He fulfilled everything that His Father gave Him to fulfill. He fulfilled the law. He fulfilled in bringing unto God every single one who the Father chose before the foundation of the world without the fail of one. I tell you, that's an able Savior, isn't it? That's an able Savior. Without the fail of one. I tell you, when we sing Victory in Jesus, Little Lamb of God, there's a reason why we can sing it and sing it to the top of our lungs and rejoice that we believe that Jesus was victorious in all things that the Father sent Him to come forth to do. Victory in Jesus, victory in Jesus. Man, I tell you, we've got something to shout about this morning. Now, I'm not telling you got to out loud. I'm just telling you in our hearts we ought to be willing to. I tell you what Jesus has blessed us to be able to have, that truth of Him and being able to see the things that He has done for us, that we can see the true Jesus. And the reason why I say true Jesus, because just because someone uses the name of Jesus doesn't mean that they're saying everything that's true about Jesus. But we're blessed to be able to rejoice in the truth about Jesus Christ and about what He's done for us. And I tell you, the truth about Jesus is whenever we're able to see His ability. The truth about Jesus is whenever we're able to see that we came to God by Him, that He brought us to God, and that we couldn't bring ourselves there, but because we couldn't, praise be unto the Lord that we serve a Savior who can. All we have as sheep have gone astray. But now we have been returned to the Shepherd and Bishop of our souls. How? By the Lord Jesus Christ and by Him alone. I tell you, my hope this morning here among the saints in Mississippi, I tell you, it's in Jesus. I believe yours is too. I believe yours is too. But He said, wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him. You know, I like that description of what our salvation is, don't you? To the uttermost. To the uttermost. You know, the Bible doesn't have a whole lot, very much of an in-depth description of glory. We just, you know, when I had somebody, and at least I don't see that much of it, if you will. The majority of the Bible, if you will, is dedicated to guide us in our walk with Jesus here in this world. You know, I had somebody ask me one time about why I thought that there was not any more vivid descriptions than there were in the Scriptures about eternal glory. And the only thing I can conclude, and this is a conclusion based solely on something that I believe about myself and the things that we're able to experience spiritually here in this world. But you know, I don't believe that we in our flesh could take a whole lot of a description of such a beautiful place as what awaits us over on the other side. I believe it's a glorious place. It's a place free and void of sin. It's a place that the short descriptions that we do have describe it as a place where the streets are of gold. And you know, whenever you think about the streets, very rarely do you think about it being something that would stand out as being something as pure as gold. You know, I've kind of gotten to the point in life where I thought I never would be in regards to watching a Western. You know, I remember when I was a youngin' and my daddy would turn a Western on, I'd think, man alive, what in the world does he find interesting in these things? And now I can see the look in my children's eyes whenever I finally get a few minutes in front of the TV. I like to turn one on too. I like to watch one. You know, I like to act as if I'm living in those days for just a few minutes, if you will, and a cowboy. But you know, Until you see with vivid imagery what the filth was of a street back in those days, and that is that it was the place where the waste ran to, a place where so many of the cattle trod and where so much went on. Oh, but think about the beautiful streets of glory that await us over on the other side, that this verse of Scripture gives us hope in, that we have over on the other side by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him. We know that if our earthly houses of this tabernacle is dissolved, we have a building not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I tell you, I believe heaven's a real place. I believe the souls and the spirits of the elect children of God that have gone on before are there. I believe even though their bodies have been buried here in this ground in which we still dwell, I believe one grand and glorious day, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ returns again, that He'll bring their souls and spirits with Him, and He'll unite them with their bodies that are in this ground, and over on the other side for all eternity, we will be with God in a place of bliss where He has saved us to the uttermost, to the uttermost, to the King's palace. I tell you, it's got to be a beautiful place. Our King dwells there. It's got to be a place that's unlike anything we've ever experienced here in this world. I tell you, just the description that it's void of sin ought to make us long for it. Doesn't that make you long for it a little bit? I tell you, sin causes me a lot of trouble in this world. You know, sin causes a lot of trouble for all the children of God. Sin plagues us. And even though we believe that Jesus paid for our sins on the cross at Calvary, and even though we believe that He dwells within us as His darling children that have been born again here in this time world, it doesn't mean that Adamic nature has left us. It still dwells within us. And I don't know about you, but it troubles me all the time. I long for the land where I'll be able to dwell and I won't have to battle sin anymore, because there won't be any sin present there. That old Adamic nature will be put away, and whenever Jesus glorifies this body upon His return, and we're able to dwell in that land that He tells us He saved us to the uttermost. Because we came unto God by Him. I tell you, we weren't active in it. You and I didn't decide to come to the Lord whenever He told us to come. I tell you now, whenever, don't cross up that word in the Bible. You know, some people in their theology, they think every time you see the word come that it means the same thing. It's in the same context. And that won't, as the old country boy says, that dog won't hunt, will it? You know, something tells me I'm in hunting country out here. Y'all know about hunting dogs out here. That dog won't hunt. Whenever you see the word come in Scripture, you must look at the context in which it's given. You have Jesus, whenever He speaks in Matthew chapter 11, and He's exhorting those that He's talking to follow Him and to walk with Him and to be a disciple unto Him. And what He tells them is, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that means He's telling them to actively come to Him and walk with Him and do something in their obedience to Him as born-again children of God. But oh, whenever you read about the new birth and us coming to the Lord, whenever you read about us coming to God by something that Jesus has done to us and has brought us to, what you and I are not reading is something that He's telling us that we've got to do. What He's telling us is that we have been drawn to God by Him. And whenever He tells us to come, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, is what the Scriptures say, and we come to the Lord. I tell you, we come to Him. Oh, without the fail of one, by the way. Without the fail of one. I tell you, I believe we have the fail of some whenever it comes to us coming to Him in discipleship, don't we? I believe we not only have the fail of some, I believe there are some of us that are trying to walk with Him that can look back in our days and seem when we hadn't come like we should have come. We didn't follow like we should have followed. You know, I remember early in our days of visiting the old Baptist church, I wanted to come unto Him. I wanted to rest in the truth. You know, it was just me and Sister Allison at the time, and visiting the Lord's people. And I tell you, I wanted to come. I wanted to come forward whenever they used to say to, they publish an open door to the church. I wanted to come, but I didn't come. So often, the invitation would be given, and I know we're not Jesus, but make no mistake about it, the gospel invitation still stands in 2025. Y'all hear me? The gospel invitation still stands, and it is an invitation. It's not a command and a declaration for us to be passive in, like the new birth. It's an invitation for us to be active in, to respond to what the Lord's told us that we ought to be about doing. There's a difference between those things. There's a difference between those things, and it's not in the ability of our Lord. It doesn't mean He can't make you whatever He wants to make you, but the Bible teaches us differently in regards to our obedience. It should be active, and it is active in us following Him. I tell you, I wore it on my heart and on my mind. I wanted to come. You know, I wanted to go was what I wanted to do. The invitation to come was given. I wanted to go. You know, I remember when it would wear upon me and I'd leave and I wouldn't go. Maybe y'all's experience is different than mine. Maybe you've just always done what it is that you know you should have done. And I don't glory in it, but mine's always involved a little bit more hard-headedness than it ought to. And I think about it. Is that me buzzing? Is this thing making a little bit of noise? Okay. Maybe me moving around up here. But I didn't go. I didn't go like I should. And I remember when we got in the truck one day after church, and finally looked over there at Sister Allison, and I said, I've just walked out of there for the last time and not done what it was I was supposed to do. When I come again to this place, you can go with me if you want to, but I'm going up there whenever the invitation to come is given. I want to go. But here in Hebrews chapter 7, we see us being reminded that whenever it comes to us being drawn to God, oh, I want to tell you that God did it all through Himself. His darling Son, Jesus Christ, brought us to Him. And He is able to save us to the uttermost that come unto God by Him. Oh, glory is your home. I tell you, we may not be there today. He said, what? You may be thinking, what do we have for today, Brother Will? I long for that day, and I believe I'm going there. But what do we have for today? The rest of this verse tells us, and we could not only apply it to today, we could take it and apply it in the context of Him drawing us to God for our home in heaven. But here we read, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. You see the comparison that he's making between Jesus and the Old Testament law was that those Old Testament priests, if you go back and you read, you'll read that there was not just one Old Testament priest. It began with Aaron. It went on to his son, Eleazar. It went on down. Because why? Because they died. Those men died. They died. And upon their death, another one had to be reappointed and had to be the representative of the people to God. See, the prophet was God's representative to the people. The priest was the people's representative to God. And whenever those priests would die, another one would have to be appointed in order for the representation to be done in an effective manner. You know, we have representatives today. You know, we probably all delight if we know one. Let's just say it like it is. You know, we have elected officials on a local level, on a state level, on a federal level. You know, it's good to know them. I mean, usually if you know them, when you need something done, you're able to call them and say, remind them of who you are. Tell you, when I moved back to the community I grew up in, I feel a lot like the folks did in the scriptures whenever they had to define themselves by their daddy. Simon Bar Jonah, that meant Simon, son of Jonah. I lived off from home for 18 years. When I moved back, I had to introduce to everybody when I shook their hand and when I called them and said, I'm Will Martin. I'm Harry Martin's son. They don't remember who Will was, but they all knew my daddy. I had to announce them as who I knew, as who I belonged to, so that they would know me and remember me. You know, sometimes whenever they announce that they're not going to seek office again, you start to wonder, well, who's going to get in that office? Am I going to know them? Are they going to know me? Am I going to be able to pick up the phone and call them so that they might know who I am? Or the same, if you look at the priest in the Old Testament, whenever one was appointed, one would die and another one was appointed down through time. But I want to tell you what makes Jesus better is that He ever liveth making intercession for us. It doesn't change hands. You and I don't have to wonder whether or not the one that's going to be appointed might know our needs so that they could bring our needs to the Lord. Jesus Christ knows the very hair on your head. He knows everything about you, and you don't have to wonder whether or not he's going to pass and another one's going to be appointed to represent you. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. And I tell you, his righteousness there on the right hand of God, because he is righteous and he's seated on the right hand of the Father on high, and because he ever liveth, I'm going to tell you that the righteousness that was imputed to you and the perfection that was given us through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He lives forever, so does your righteousness, and so does everything that He represents you in. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason why we believe He's better. I believe He is. And I tell you, if I failed to make the case this morning, you don't lay it to His charge and say, I'm wondering whether or not He is. You can lay it to mine, but I want to tell you what I believe about Him. Is that the truth about Jesus Christ is the best around that we can have here this side of glory until we're with Him in very presence in that uttermost place that He saved us to. I tell you, we've got a glorious Savior. We've got one that's worthy of all our honor, praise, and glory. We've got a book whose main theme is Him. We've got a place where we can gather together where He has told us that this is the place whenever the saints of the Lord come together, that He can be the center point of our thoughts and our worship, and we can hear about Him continuously over and over again until we're blessed to be able to see Him coming forth out of those clouds one grand and glorious day. That's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I tell you, we don't have a reason to turn to ways of this world whenever we're able to see Him for who He is. Oh, we've got all the reason in the world to just keep on keeping on right in the way in which He brought us thus far to be able to walk with Him. That's my prayer. May the Lord bless us to do so, and may the Lord keep us in that way. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning.